If I'm to learn something about God, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll find out. Is anybody is anybody going to be using the new Sunday schools? Nope.
I just shut it off then.
We'll just ignore the verse.
Huh?
I couldn't figure out a way to get it off, so we'll
That's
just ignore it.
That's fine. All right, one another time. So, one another time, the testimonies. God's working our hearts and minds and lives out.
Well, the Lord is keeping us going. You know, sometimes I wonder about Terry.
All right. So the first thing that enters your mind, the first word, when I point to you, say it. Okay? So what is the first thing that you think about heaven?
Fluffy beds.
Angels.
Angels.
Happy.
Vibrant.
Streets of gold.
Huh? Streets of gold.
White.
White.
Surfaceless.
Surfaceless.
What is heaven?
What was the first thing you think of when heaven comes across the ticker tape of the mind's eye?
Jesus.
Living
with God.
The first one of life of Jesus is there.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What else?
A big, big house and football. That's audio and
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Going fishing.
Huh?
Going fishing.
Going fishing. Oh, my. What's funny is that when a few months ago, if I had to think about heaven, my first thought would be me on a diesel powered cloud that probably looks like a Duramax diesel with a super sound system amp set up powered by heaven's electricity and jamming to Gaither's gospel music. And you know what? It's so wrong. You know? It's so wrong. You know? Most of what we think about is wrong. For a long time now, I've had questions like, can my father and mother in heaven see me right now? If my father can see me right now, he's very afraid since I'm giving him this message. Okay? So what does heaven actually look like? And that's one of the questions I'd like to answer today. What does heaven actually look like? When I go to the Birthed in B&B website, when I think of the Birthed in B&B, Carla and I have stayed there three or four times now, and the reason I really like to stay there is it's 2 miles from the Rich Brothers Auction in Denver, okay? The Birthed Inn, though, when I think of the Birthed Inn, I think of the Egyptian room. They have theme rooms, okay? And the Egyptian room has, you walk down into the lower level, okay? Just like you're going into Nefertiti's tomb, okay? And they've got big fold blocks, and they've got a big hot tub, bathtub set up. and then they, and then you don't even realize they go Nefertiti bust a golden looking bust you know, statue there, and lots of other Egyptian looking kind of stuff in the room, and then when you turn out the lights, the stars in the ceiling all glow. Okay, for probably about 30 minutes while you're trying to go to sleep. It's incredible. Okay, and that's what I see when I think of the Birth and Inn. They have the French room. Okay, it's a round tower, and it's probably about that big around. And there's in the center of it is a round bed. Okay, finally got to chase the toilet around the bed. Okay, so it's but I think of, I have a clear description in my mind of what the Birth and Inn looks like, and I can hardly wait to go there again. Now, what's different is when we think of heaven, why do we think about what we're going to get? You know, heaven is why because we're Americans, it's all about us, right? I mean, is heaven going to be? The other questions that I have. Am I going to see our cat Wasabi?
Yes.
When the cat dies and I'm in heaven. Am I going to see
a good name for a cat? Remember this, love is eternal. So anything that you've ever loved, animals, humans, any of it, all return.
So you know what Scripture says. Now I got another question. My mother miscarried several times. Okay, so am I going to have additional brothers and sisters in heaven? And the further question is, am I going to like them? Okay, all right. I'm not so sure about the brothers and sisters I have right now. how old would those miscarried babies be in heaven? Okay, so am I actually going to be able to see Jesus' face? And be able to like have dinner with them, okay? And another biggie for me is John and I have been blessed with incredible mechanical skills, okay? That's why he's my best buddy in many crimes here on this earth. And are those mechanical skills that we've been given going to have any value in heaven?
Nope.
Huh? Nope. You know So I've got the answer to all of these questions. And the answer is, Pastor Mark will start answering them next week. Okay. We're pushing that off, right? So do you guys have any well, what are your questions about heaven?
I think about that all the time.
Got a good idea what it is. It's not really something you can see or touch or feel. It's like living in a pure emotion.
You're gonna have fun with this. You're gonna see what the Scripture says about that today. This is gonna be fun.
Whenever I think about it, I end up with the okay. Well, I'm God's favorite, so I have the biggest mansion. We're told that heaven's our reward. So our little human brains, you know, I say our little human brains because that's all that we can think of as reward is what. We're getting, you know what I'm saying? Like, what we'll get, like your mechanical abilities and your diesel cloud and, you know, my huge mansion and stuff like that. And then I ponder that for a second, and then I'm like, yeah, I just really can't wrap my head around that. So I just forget it, you know, it's like forget it because I think it's way beyond anything that we can think of. It is with our little tiny human.
Eating lots of bacon. Never get
caught. Isn't heaven our reward?
Right.
Isn't heaven our reward?
It is.
I mean, isn't that's what our little minds are supposed to wrap around? Isn't that the reward?
But like Pastor Mark always says, there's a bigger picture.
I know.
So
but we're just supposed to think about that. And we're not supposed to go, oh, but wait, we're supposed to get more, right?
You die,
you're
on everything.
It's
a good thing
comment.
That this heaven series is going to go on for a number of weeks because
right.
I'm going to scratch the surface a little bit with just the visual of actual heaven. Eternity Heaven today, but go ahead.
One of my most favorite books, Peter Lau, a dear friend of mine, gave me, called, it's by Anna Roundtree, called Heaven Awaits the Bride. And this woman and her husband have these incredible encounters with the heavenly realm. And can we ask God that question? And the cloud of witnesses, can we ask God, okay, who's a part of our cloud of witnesses? Those have gone before us. Are they praying for us? Yes, there are cloud of witnesses. So there's all these things, but I think the reward is the more we press into our relationship with Jesus, the more open we are to those heavenly places. You know, spiritually speaking, I have a tendency, because of where God takes me, to go dark, you know, and the deliverance and all that side. But God is there with his angelic force. They're here now. They're in our midst. And that is heaven on earth, because they live in that realm. And here we are walking this earth, another realm, right? Another heaven. They're called different heavens, right? There's the first heaven. I mean, look it up. It's crazy. They're actually broken up. And so I'm like, God, I want to see it. I don't want to wait. I want to see it now, Lord. Can I? And I think we can. I think if we ask God, can we see and experience heaven now? Can we, Lord? Is that part of your plan? Would that be okay? Is that sinful to want that? Or is that just more of wanting Jesus and me and him, like, on the mountain? My thing is, a mechanic, I'm, like, on top of the mountains with Jesus, and we are running the top of the mountain. Every mountain, we're jumping over mountains, and we're just going everywhere and enjoying each other. I want to enjoy Jesus. But this world gets in the way sometimes where we can't enjoy him. And I think that is a way of participating with heaven, is when we are able to enjoy him. Even in the battle, enjoy his authority, enjoy his dominion. I don't know. I love this. This is exciting. This conversation.
See, so when Carla and I went to that B&B, we were going to that B&B the first time because we wanted to go to that wonderful Egyptian room that we wanted to have, all right? And, well, we didn't really care about the proprietor, okay? We didn't know anything about him, all right? So what actually took place, we found a place we wanted to go. We paid the price up front to reserve the room. Okay, we waited for anticipation for the day. We prepared ourselves to make the trip. And once we got there, we met the proprietor as he welcomed into this establishment. Then we were taken to our room, and we were pleasantly surprised at how wonderful it all was, hot tub and all. We found out later during the visit that that with the 5-star steak breakfast, that the proprietor was a really fascinating guy, a renowned chef that learned his chef skills in Europe. And was piddling with bed and breakfast. So the next time we went to that B&B, okay, we were excited. We had made a friend of that chef. And we were excited to go there to the room, but we were excited to go there because we wanted to see that we had established a relationship with the chef. So have we established our relationship with Christ enough to where we're as excited to go to heaven to see Christ as for whatever the needs are that we're going to receive in heaven? That's the question. And I'll tell you something, that question kicked my butt. Because I'm kind of a I do something to get something kind of guy. And I'm going to be good on earth. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to show the church. And I want a piece of, I want my piece of heaven. Okay, that is so wrong. I'm so kicking my own tail here. So here's what God wants us to know. We're supposed to believe in Christ. We're supposed to believe in Christ. Many people believe so much in the concept of heaven that they don't believe that God loved us so much that he sent us a son to die for our sins. So if we be with him someday, God has worked from, he had the people in the garden, okay? They made the wrong decision. God has spent all these years, written this whole book, had all these prophets, sent his son to die for us, just so that he could be back in full relationship with us in heaven at some point. Okay? So, the word heaven, somebody was saying, heaven, heavens, is mentioned 532 times in Scripture. It's the third most mentioned word in Scripture. Okay? It's God wants us to be there with him. So here's a passage we all know. Okay, we say this. We just, I think, I skate through it. Matthew 6, 9, and 10. Our Father, which art in heaven. Okay? One and the same. All right? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Oh, the American way. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, let's read this the American way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come. I can hardly wait for my heaven. Okay? My will be done on this earth. I'm going to do mostly my will. And then, you know, I'm good for whatever rewards I do for whatever pathetic things I do on this earth for you. So the end result is heaven's not about us. It's heaven is not the great sandals resort in the sky, okay, where we get pampered for eternity. God's will is done on earth. God's will is done on heaven, okay? Matthew 7:21 is actually kind of a frightening verse. In the general topic of, that we're kind of, I'm kind of going all over the place here a little bit, but I want to, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, you know, I often look at, on TV or on YouTube, at some of these pastors that I listen to and everything else, and you know, they know what to say, but one thing for sure about heaven is we're going to be surprised who's going to be there. We're going to be surprised at who's not there. We're probably going to be surprised that we're there. So what is God's will? You know, you go to John 3:15-16, it's belief in him. That's what God's will is. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, one of the things that when I was looking into this whole thing, that really surprised me was not once did Jesus ever say in Scripture, you know, believe in me so that you can go to heaven. Ain't in Scripture. It ain't in Scripture. You know, what Jesus promises is eternal life. Okay? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, we're on a little bunny trail here. It hit me in this when I was looking at this, that every time that an egg and a sperm come together and life is created, that life, one way or the other, is going to last forever. It's never not going to live somewhere, you know, and that just really, I just kind of one of the little sideline things that was incoming, it just kind of hit me hard. John 14, 1-3, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, and this is like we Christians, all-time favorite scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is like the best. Okay? I got a question for you. I was in thinking about this. It's like, okay, why do you guys have a house that you live in? What's one of the reasons why you have a house?
Shelter.
To provide
yourself and your family.
Shelter. Yeah. A shelter? Well, what's another reason why we have a house?
I couldn't find a cave.
I'm with you. But why would you have a cave?
Because
place
for protection. Okay, what's another reason we have a house?
Place to come home to.
Place to come home to. Okay, what's another reason we have a house?
To relax.
Relax.
Enjoy.
Privacy.
For my husband to put his stuff.
privacy. Now the thing, here Jesus is in the few years before the first century even got started, and here he is talking to his first century disciples, trying to explain to them, trying to give them some motivation. Guys, I'm gonna go prepare a mansion for you. And what did the mansions look like back in that time? You know, so we translate. Jesus is trying to give us some sort of motivation of what heaven's going to look like.
Well, I read somewhere that in those days, a mansion meant an apartment.
A what?
An apartment. So it just means he's going to build, he has a place for us.
You know, it thinks through all the reasons why we have, or why I have a house. Okay, let me do it that way. I have it for protection. I'm not going to need that in heaven. I'm not going to need protection in heaven. I have it for privacy. Okay? Nobody wants to see me go to the bathroom. Okay? So I have it for privacy, but we're not going to need that in heaven. Okay? I have it for
comfort.
Well, actually, but I'm not going to need my easy chair in heaven. Okay.
Well,
I'm not going to need the heating pad on my easy chair in heaven either. Okay, so I have it. I have it for investment purposes.
Yeah,
I'm not going to need that in heaven.
Well, another reason is that a house runs up bills, which means we have to get out the door and go work, which gives us a motivation to be doing things in life. You know, you're not just sitting in the house all the time, right? Eventually, you got to pay your electric bills, you got to pay your gas bills. In due time, the house is going to start breaking, so you got to get up. You know, it's to make us get up and go out and do things.
So the next verse is, and Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He doesn't say, "I'm going to take you to heaven." I receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Okay? So ultimately, God in heaven heaven is all about God, and we want to be with him, and we're going to have our minds and hearts radically altered in the way that we worship when we get there. And whatever little pathetic worship we think we've done on this earth is going to be nothing as opposed to what it's going to be like in heaven. I mean, when the angel first appeared to John, the first thing he did was fell down and started to worship the angel. The angel goes, dude, no, it's God you're after. I'm just the messenger.
Those exact words, huh? Dude, no.
That's right. Okay? Whatever centric. Okay, so scripture makes it very clear that heaven is wherever Jesus is. All right. So I'd like you to meet Rosie the robot. Okay, Rosie, this is our vacuum cleaner robot. And every time in the morning, I think of my I'm usually sitting in my easy chair or doing my devotions when Rosie wakes up and decides she's going to try to clean the floor, and I look at Rosie, and I wonder, is my Christian life like the way she behaves? So we named it Rosie because remember who is the robot in the Jetsons? Rosie. Okay, so Rosie the robot. So so let's see, let's try this. Okay, here we go.
Is it a wet bath?
We're gonna find out.
Come on.
Do we have to motivate it with a house?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's saying, go away, I'm still sleeping.
Yeah,
which?
I
have
more minutes. Here. Yeah, I think it's going to be a mug.
She's like, sorry,
so
I'm tired.
It's time. It's time to where it just wakes up every morning. But apparently, she's on strike at the moment. did we feed you? It's okay. Come on. Yeah, I don't know why. Doesn't want to.
Go.
There it is. Okay, here we go. And it starts out, and it's like, okay, God, I'm going to serve you today. Okay, and there she goes. Boom, boom.
Look,
just put your feet down. It'll turn around and go the other way. Check this out. Check this out. See, this is us. This is us living our life for God. We're like completely random. You know. Look at that. Okay, well, I got that spot. Oh, let's go over here. All right. Here, there. Okay, bump, bump, bump. We come up against an obstacle. We turn around. We go the other way. It's like, okay, well, maybe not here. Let's go here. Okay, let's go here. Let's run over this cord when we screw things up. Okay.
Oh, you're on that cord.
Yeah. Usually it handles cords okay.
Not this time.
Okay. Okay, there we go. So here we are. It's like, this is, when God looks down on us, I'm pretty sure he sees some version of this. We just kind of go here. Then we go here. God's like, what are you doing? I mean, look at that spot right there. How come you haven't gotten that spot right there? How come you haven't gone and talked to that person? How come you haven't read that scripture? The creators of this robot basically gave it free will. That's what God gave us. And yesterday, John has this little dog, and it doodled in the kitchen. Okay? And so Rosie the robot went over there and went right over that poop and just smeared it everywhere. And it was gross. Okay, and it was like, well, you know, how come she didn't know better? And God's thinking about us most of the time. Well, why on earth don't we know what to do? So you know, we get picked up by God, get cleaned off, and then we get put back to work for serving Him. And so let's see. So then the other cool part about this is that. That it's got its docking station, all right. And I think about that, and it at some point it comes home, and then it gets charged up. So we're home today, okay, getting charged up for our service for Christ, right? But we want to go to our ultimate home, right? Which is with God, and. Now she doesn't want to go home. So, let's see. Here, come on. This is the first time we've used the remote on this thing. All right, we get it. Come on.
It's like a puppy dog.
All right, well, whatever. Just let it go. It'll winds down, it'll charge it, so the floors need to be cleaned anyway, right? Okay. I'm not going to fight it. So we're as pathetic to God as Rosie the robot cleaner is to us. But yet we think that heaven's all about us, that we deserve heaven. All right? That God needs to be preoccupied. Huh?
I robot movie.
Yeah.
It's a distraction.
Yes.
Because right now everybody's giggling and laughing, and we are like children, engaged with this moment. Right? This is so good. And this has been what God's had on my heart this week, and I've been posting about this. But God says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, you know, some of the work that I do is healing adult trauma and going back to the childhood years, and we heal, okay, in counseling. And there's a big debate about that, but it doesn't matter, because God says we must become like little children in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this
arms, you're just very lively. You're like a child, yes. And you bring us to this moment. So, you know, here we are, slipping into the heavens right now. You know, enjoying God, enjoying your example.
All right, Nick, there's somebody push the big round button back on Rosie.
Shut her down.
I wanted her to come back
to
the
talking session. Yeah, I was going to say,
do you think the battery you're getting weak on your neck?
Yeah. And then God goes, okay, I'm done with you, man. You're off. Come to me. I'm going to bring you back to life. Not actually, you should have it.
My kids would be very bored if I had one of these.
What's that?
My kids would get very bored if I had one of these. They love to vacuum.
Oh, my God. So anyway, let's
hey, does it have the capability of not throwing itself off the cliff?
No.
Or down the stairs.
No, in fact it's got other little electronic things like for where Wasabi has her food, okay? That there's a thing right there that prevents it from coming in that area. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
So it won't just throw itself downstairs.
But we're taking that high-tech 1 gallon paint can right now and putting in the door of the mechanical room so it doesn't eat up the nails and everything like that. But so we think that heaven's all about us, that we deserve heaven, that God's going to be preoccupied with the building of our mansions. Okay, this is what drives a lot of us. So what are we going to get out of it when we get to heaven? And this is about as silly as Carla and me putting Rosie into our will and making sure that Rosie gets an inheritance from us. Okay? The difference is that God flat out loves us, wants us to be in relationship with Him for eternity. So why is that? You have to ask God that eternity. I have no clue why God would want us to be with Him.
It touches my heart because it's like we crawl into his lap and we're like, how can you really love me that much? You know, I mean, if you take that moment and crawl into his lap and be like, Jesus, seriously, I've done so many things and I still keep doing so many things. We have our long list, but that's being like a child, right? That's what little kids do. We see all these little kids running around. We're so blessed. And they crawl around each other and they crawl into our laps and they're like, just love me. Give me a hug. Can I have a treat? And there's a part of that that is self. It is self-focused. But it's also childlike, where it's God-focused. It's not bad. It's not naughty. It's childlike. And so there's this line. It's like a boundary line of being able and willing to humble ourselves. Right? And crawl into his lap. Like, I've had two prophets say to me, I'm a babe in his arms. And I sometimes get mad at that. I'm like, what? I don't want to be a babe in your arms. I'm going to be awesome. But that's the pride in me. It's how God sees us. When you come to him as a child, and we crawl in his arms and say, Jesus, really? Let's do this together. Let's play.
So B&B to me in relationship to heaven is... my belief of beyond. Okay, that's what B&B kind of stands for me here recently. Let's take a peek. Let me do a quick summary. And you know what? If I say anything wrong, John, you're into this. Just kind of let me give you a quick summary of what we've got coming in our futures. All right. And Pastor's going to expand on this in the next number of weeks and maybe get it straight, okay? But ultimately, what we've got coming up is, and I want to wrap this whole thing up with what heaven actually is going to look like when it comes down to us. But it's premature to mention that until we figure out how we're going to, all the things that are going to take place to get there. To summarize briefly, okay, we've got coming up, in our future, is we have all the nations of the world coming up against Israel. At some point, Christ is going to go, enough! It's time. He's going to show up, white horse, he's going to come in, he's going to going to take over and annihilate Israel's enemies, and that's going to be there's going to be a tribulation period before that. There's been 7 years of tribulation before Christ shows up. It's going to be a miserable time. We're going to be raptured before that. I'm not saying this in order very well, let's do this again. We're going to get raptured. There's going to be a tribulation period. Christ is going to show up with us in our spiritual bodies. Okay, then it's going to roll into the millennial 1,000-year reign. I heard in some of my studies that because I've always wondered who's going to be in the millennium period, who's going to be in that 1,000-year period where Christ is actually here on earth. And some of the odd things that I've heard is that it's going to be the people, the unbelievers, that make it past through the tribulation period. They're going to be there, and then we come to earth with Christ, and then we get to reign over them for the 1,000-year period. And one of my questions got answered regarding, are we going to need to have mechanical skills? There's a verse that says that during that 1,000-year period, the plowshares, the swords of war, the implements of war, are going to be turned into agricultural implements by beating on them. And so there's going to be some sort of machinery, which is pretty cool. John and I volunteer. Right? Okay. So that 1,000-year period, somewhere, and I'm not sure about this, okay, somewhere I heard in my, in everything I've heard, that God's going to be rearranging the war-torn earth after this tribulation period, and that even the heavens during that 1,000-year period are going to be like 7 times brighter. I don't know where that comes from. Somebody that I trust, I mentioned that in passing. I wasn't able to get the scripture. We can work on that. Okay? A lot of strange things are going to take place through that 1,000-year period. But before that 1,000-year... Go ahead.
With the plowshares in the... Or the sword in the plowshares, where that could be proverbial. You know, like, maybe it just means that people will stop killing each other and turn the equipment into something to work together as a one.
Well, the earth in the 1,000-year period is still going to be the original earth that got resurrected to some degree. I'm not clear on that. Okay?
You are the plowshare. You are, this is prophetic. I am a sword. We go forth in our anointing, and God puts us in places, and you plow the lies. You plow forth what is to come forth so that seed can be planted. It's prophetic. You are the plow. You're consumed with it right now because you love it. It's part of how God made you. That's why you're so passionate about it. The thing itself is a manifestation in this realm, right? But you are that spiritually. You are God, Son of God. You are that plow. You are that plowshare.
So before thank you. So before the 1,000-year reign, God binds Satan, puts him in to his holding pen for 1,000 years, and all of the demons. So then, one of the questions is: there's going to be 100. If you're 100 years old, you're going to be like a child during that period. Okay. Don't know anything more about that. Thank God, Pastor's going to be taking care of this in the next few years. Okay. There's 1,000 years going to go by. People are going to, from what I understand, people are going to procreate on Earth. There's going to be a whole bunch of people. Then Satan's going to be let out and loosed, and then he's going to get one more shot at everybody. That not the saints with their spiritual bodies, but the people that have been on Earth. And so after people make a decision. Because, you know, one of the amazing things about God is everything that he's ever created, every human, every being that he's ever created has had free will. And so he's not going to take that away from us. Really kind of going on another serious bunny trail. Thank you, Pastor. Take care of it next few weeks. Is what does free will look like in the final heaven?
Okay. Anyway, so we end up with the 1,000-year period, and then we come to here's the visual that we can leave with today. All right. So in Revelation 21:1, John, in his first century eyeballs, with his first century understanding, with what God allowed him to see, said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, brand new. Not, it's just completely new. I don't think we can begin to revolve our brains around that, what that's going to make new. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished." You servers are screwed. Okay? "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God." "I saw the holy city coming out of heaven, prepared and ready, like a bride dressed to meet her husband." Totally beautiful. Totally willing. Totally looking forward to the experience. "I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with people. Okay? He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes." April. "He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more pain." No more pain. Amen. John? No more pain. Amen. So it's just, there will be no more death, no more grief, nor crying, nor pain. Man, the old things have disappeared. "Now then the one who sits on the throne said, I'll make all things new. And he said to me, write this, because these words are true and can be trusted. And he said, it is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I'll give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it. Those who won the victory will receive this from me. I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, traitors, perverts, murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic, the witchcraft, those who worship idols and all liars, the place for them is the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." All right?
Doesn't
have sulfur water like that. And that's going to be brand new, too. So one of one of the angels, "The Spirit took control of me," John said, "and the angels carried me to the top of a very, very high mountain. He showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God." Now, "and shining with the glory of God. The city shone like a precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal." When I was researching this, I got all tangled up in this and in the different types of precious stones that they talk about. And it turns out that over the centuries, the precious stones have had different names depending upon the civilization. They just kind of changed names. But ultimately, clear as crystal. All right? So here's heaven coming out of a new heaven, coming down out of heaven to a new earth. All right? How big is it? "It had a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels in charge of the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. There were 3 gates on either side, 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south. The city's wall was built on 12 foundation stones." And all these numbers have a whole bunch of significance that you can just totally go sideways in. Were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. "The angel who spoke to me had a gold measuring stick to measure the city." Tools, dude. Okay? And it was long. The city was perfectly square, as wide as it was long. Okay, the angel measured the city with his measuring stick. It was 1,500 miles long. 1,500 miles, 1,400 miles, 1,500 miles, whatever. Okay, 1,500 miles long. From here to Seattle, from here to what? The coast? The Gulf Coast, from here to... That's huge. Cubed. Okay, there was one person I was listening to that said it might be a triangle. I don't know where he got that. All right? And it was 1,500 miles long, tall, wide.
And the wall was 216 feet high. The wall was made of jasper, and the city itself was made of pure gold, as clear as glass. Apparently, there's going to be a new gold that we can see through. I looked that up. I tried to find out if there was any gold so pure that you could see through it. And ultimately, I couldn't find any. I couldn't find any information that said that. So God is God. He can make gold clear as glass if he wants to in the new heavens and the new earth. This is the eternal. This is where we're going to be for eternity. Okay? And then the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. And it goes on and describes the different types of stones and everything else. And one thing that I thought was really cool that I had some fun with the boys last week on was the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made from a single pearl. Now, those gates were huge. Could you imagine the oyster? No. Okay. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. Okay? And it's God. And God's going to, you know, do whatever he wants. The street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. Now, if you think of this cube, that apparently is clear. Okay? Now, further on, it says, I did not see a temple in the city because its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it because the glory of God shines on it. And the Lamb is its lamp. The people of the world will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their wealth to it. Let's go back to the city. Is it clear? I'm going to ask this in question form so I don't get it wrong. Is it clear? Like out of some sort of diamond, gold, something? 59 miles? 1,500 miles? 1,500 miles? God's in the center? Providing the light for the entire city? Let's go back to why we need our houses. We don't need security. We don't need privacy. We don't need bathrooms. We don't need... So we apparently we're going to have our own space there. I don't know. Okay? But it's mind-blowing. Coming out of heaven, cube, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles. And John was sitting on a mountain watching this. So some people were saying when I was researching this that the city of Jerusalem, the new city of Jerusalem, the eternal city of Jerusalem, the city of God, might not ever touch the actual earth. I don't know where they get that from, but I heard three people say that.
Maybe it's a spaceship.
So then what blew my mind was that's just the city that's on this earth. Okay, so now. Now, after looking at all of this, when I think of heaven, okay, the final heaven, not the 1,000 years, I think of this translucent 1,500-mile cube coming out of heaven, being there, God in the center, he lights the universe, the new universe.
What is that?
It gives me enough, for me, that it's just... God is so amazing that it lights me up, that wants me to invite other people to make sure my kids participate with this. So the peoples of the world will walk by its light. So now there's the earth that's outside of this heaven, the heavenly city. And the kings of the earth will bring their wealth into it. So there's kings. Kings mean that there's a hierarchy. Means that there's some organization. Means that there's people that are on the earth. What about that? Go, Pastor Mark. Okay, the gates of the city, and I really like the gates, again, because guess what a gate is? It's a mechanical beast. It has hinges. But the hinges don't ever have to work because the gates of the city will stand open all day. They will never be closed because there will be no light at night there.
okay? The greatness and the wealth of the nations will be brought into the city. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going outside of this 1,500-mile cube. Translucent.
Well,
could
the greatness and the wealth, could it just be our spirits? It doesn't have to be.
Don't know.
I don't think any of it's going to be physical. I don't think gold has any value. Gold has no value, and neither does any physical object. When you're in heaven, there's no physical thing.
So when at the beginning of the scriptures, where God said God made the heavens and the earth, how is that different than the new heaven, the new city came out of heaven and came to the earth? That's not any different. And we're sitting here in a physical earth. Okay, so nothing that is impure will enter the city. So is there anything in that's not pure outside of the city in the new heavenly earth, the new earth? Nor anyone who does shameful things or tells lies. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Living will enter the city. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Sorry. I know you're probably scrapping for time, but so does that mean that not everyone who's a believer will be in the city? Because if only believers can enter the city.
I'm so glad you started this whole thing and lob it up to Pastor Mark.
So I'd like to read a scripture. Yeah. Don't be you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple.
So if you have a Hyundai, you can't go on the head.
If you are of Christ, that's different.
What about the Jews? They're not of Christ.
Jesus was a Jew.
Jesus was a Jew.
What does the word say? For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
Yes.
Let me finish. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world of life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ. And Christ is of God.
So what I'm trying to create, though, primarily today, because this goes and shoots out in every direction, is what is our, my first thought of heaven now, is translucent cube, lit by God, coming to a new heavens, a new earth, where I've got my new body, my spiritual body, but I'm changed. And but I want some. There's one more visual thing that I want to add to this. And especially coming from the point of view of a low goer. Okay, the angel also showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and flowing down the middle of the city streets. Now, why would John be looking at all of this if it was just kind of like a vision? God has been told John to look at this, write it down, and put it into God's history book, otherwise known as Scripture. And this is the visual that we're getting. So from the center of that city, it's flowing. This sparkling like crystal, a lot of the water. When I drill an artesian well, drill down in Europe, and it truly touches me and moves me in ways that go way beyond just the welder of the thing. Because here is the earth giving up its water under pressure and water shooting out. Drilled my own artesian well this past year, expecting 50 gallons a minute, 350 gallons a minute, and a foot and a half wide trench flowing out, just gushing, full of iron, full of manganese, full of hardness. Not God's artesian water coming from his throne. You know, man, on either side of the river was the tree of life. Where was the tree of life? Where did it start from? The very beginning of Scripture. Okay? Garden of Eden, which bears fruit 12 times a year, once each month, and its leaves are for the healings of the nations. And it's like, well, the nations need to be healed? I thought this was heaven. A lot of people talked about this that I looked into, and it wasn't necessarily the healing. It was like more like vitamins. It was for the enhancement of our lives. Don't know. Nothing that is under God's curse will be found in the city. So we have the throne of God gushing out this amazing amount of water, okay, that is in the center of this translucent city of some type, 1,500 miles square, cube, coming out of heaven, coming to the new earth. I lost my hope. That's heaven. That's heaven. We're all headed if we have put our faith in Christ. And I mean, this is exciting stuff to me. So I looked into the screen of the future B&B, and this is what I've seen. So there's some other things that take place. We're really out of time at this point, but. Jesus promises, listen, I'm coming soon. I'll bring my rewards with me to give to each one according to what he has done. There are rewards, April. We're up. There are rewards. Okay? I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So, you know, when I think about all of this, I think about our responsibilities on this earth, our time on this earth, and we are really need to be inviting people to God's love and mercy, and to be with us in this incredible future city, and there's a song by DC Talk, What If I Stumble, that I'd like to play here now. And it's a song about what the rapture is going to take place, and what happens if we don't all make it, and what it looks like. And what I'd like to do is today in prayer, let's gather around, start the certain music, listen to the music, and we'll do our prayer circle, and then let's just let the music flow, and let's pray for those of our family, friends that we have, co-workers, other people in the town, our country. Let's pray for them and ask that God's will is that everybody should be saved. And that let's commit to God to do our parts in that process. Play that.
The root cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable.